what everybody in the field has been proposing is that they will use an alternate approach where they interleave assessments with neurofeedback scans. So you assess the subject, you run neurofeedback scan, then you assess them, did they get better? Okay, well then we're going to run another neurofeedback scan, then you assess them again. And so basically you keep assessing, you keep doing assessments between every pair of neurofeedback scans, and you look to see where symptoms asymptote. So when people stop getting better, you say, okay, that's the optimal number of neurofeedback scans. So that approach is based on the assumption that symptom improvements between assessments are being driven by the neurofeedback scan that occurred between those assessments. But in reality, what our data showed is that a single or two neurofeedback sessions could drive symptom improvements for the following month. So if we had had assessments spaced, you know, every week for a month, and between those we'd put neurofeedback runs, it would look like all those neurofeedback runs were necessary because our symptoms kept improving, when really all the improvement could be explained just from the first one or two neurofeedback scans. So basically, that approach, which is really popular right now in people proposing applications to this R61, R33 mechanism, because it's the only thing you can do to optimize dose, and optimizing dose is required in the R61 period, it's fundamentally flawed. If people have data that has the kind of pattern of symptom change that we see, this approach is going to lead to, you know, dramatic overestimates in the number of sessions that are optimal. And that in the long run is going to cost NIMH a huge amount of money, because, you know, they're going to be estimating that, you know, 7 or 8 neurofeedback sessions are optimal when perhaps only 2 were optimal. And then every clinical trial going forth is going to use 7 or 8, a huge investment of time and resources that's completely unnecessary. Never mind the inconvenience to the patients. So to get valid estimates of the optimal dose, you really need to do multi-leg interventions. And so this, I felt, was probably the most timely implication of our paper. Really, we should just tell NIMH we can't optimize dose in 2 years properly, and admit that we do not know the optimal dose, and that we're picking a dose that we think is going to work. Because it, you know, was promising in our pilot data or for whatever other reason, acknowledging that dose still needs to be optimized and has not yet been optimized.